I'm Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 10 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, January the 23rd. And the question we ask you this hour, should the Department of Natural Resources continue its mute swan control policy? That's the question on the Natural Resources Board agenda for its meeting tomorrow. And critics of the plan to eradicate the birds from Wisconsin will not be mute. We'll find out first what the DNR, why the DNR wants to eradicate the mute swan and why some object during this hour, and we will wonder where you stand and what questions you have. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890, or send your question or comment via email. talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. Our first guest this hour is Stanley Temple, professor of wildlife ecology at UW-Madison. And after 6:30, we will hear from a guest who is part of the effort to protect the mute swan. We did invite a guest from the Department of Natural Resources to explain why the department wants to eradicate the mute swan and continue this control policy, but no one from the DNR was able to join us. So we appreciate Professor Temple for joining us to explain what the problems the state has with the mute swan population. He and his students, by the way, developed techniques used by the DNR to reintroduce the trumpeter swan back into its native habitat. Professor Temple joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning.
First, tell us, what is the mute swan? Where did it come from?
Well, mute swans are a native species to Europe and Asia. They are the swan of European fairy tales, the Ugly Duckling story, and so forth. And they were brought to North America sometime a little over 100 years ago as pets. People kept them in their gardens and ponds and zoos. And as so often is the case with species that we bring to North America with perhaps good intentions, things go awry when the plant or the animal escapes from captivity and starts to invade natural systems here in North America. And that's exactly what's happened with the mute swan.
How did that happen? What's going on in Wisconsin?
Well, they have escaped from captivity. The population has been growing in the wild at what we as ecologists would consider to be an alarming rate. Sort of big alarms go off when a non-native species establishes itself in the wild and then starts to increase very rapidly and spread. And that's what was happening with the mute swans sort of 15 or 20 years ago when the signals were all there that this was going to be an ecological problem that we should probably try to sort of nip in the bud before it became an uncontrollable problem.
Yeah. So what sorts of ecological problems are being caused by the mute swan?
Well, because mute swans aren't native to our area, they have some behavioral and ecological characteristics that don't fit in particularly well with our native systems. They do a lot of damage to aquatic vegetation, and that's especially true because unlike our native swans, mute swans stay around for the entire winter. They uproot aquatic vegetation, disturb water quality. But the thing that is perhaps most troubling, in addition to that ecological damage, is that they are competitors with our native waterfowl species, especially our native trumpeter swan, which we're trying very hard to reestablish as the swan in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. So the mute swan competes with the trumpeter swan for the habitat, and it's winning?
Unfortunately, it is winning, not only with trumpeter swans, but many of our other native waterfowl species. And the reason is that mute swans are particularly aggressive. They will not tolerate other species of waterfowl in the same areas as they live in. So quite often you'll see in the sequence of a wetland complex, perhaps, that may have had 5 to 10 native waterfowl species living there, once a mute swan pair moves in, they move out. And as a result, it is a threat to some extent to our native waterfowl species. And as I said, we're especially worried about the trumpeter swan, which we've reintroduced now in the last 20 years. And it's doing all right in that its numbers are continuing to increase. But we could see an almost inevitable trajectory of trumpeter swans and mute swans coming into very direct conflict with one another if we let the mute swan continue to increase.
Now, the state, the DNR, has been doing efforts to control, reduce mute swan numbers. Can you tell us what the state has been doing?
Well, the Department of Natural Resources developed a plan, a policy for dealing with mute swans, and it was implemented back in 1997. And that approach has involved several activities, shooting adult swans and making sure that swans that are nesting don't raise any young. And they do that by taking the eggs of the bird and treating them in such a way that the eggs don't hatch. And that program has actually been quite successful, especially in the southeast part of Wisconsin, where they've kept very close tabs on the population size and the impact of the control effort. So they've reduced the number of swans since 1997. They've reduced the number of swans in southeast Wisconsin by more than half through these control efforts.
Let me take a short pause for a weather break, and then we'll continue talking with Stanley Temple, professor of wildlife biology at UW-Madison. We're talking about the fight that's brewing over the DNR's policy to control, to eradicate, the mute swan population in Wisconsin. The Natural Resources Board meets tomorrow to vote on continuing this effort. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890. We welcome your take on this, your questions for our guest. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine, coming up on 18 minutes past 6 o'clock. We're talking with Stan Temple during this half hour. He is a professor of wildlife ecology at UW-Madison. He's talking with us about the problems that the state has with the mute swan, a non-native species that the DNR says destroys habitat for other species like the trumpeter swan. The DNR has a policy in place to control them. The DNR actually says its goal is to eradicate the mute swan. We wonder what you think about this, what questions you have. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. Coming up after 6:30, we will be welcoming in the chair of the town board in Waterford, who organized a petition drive to protect the mute swan. And Professor Temple, Bob Langmesser, will tell us that he questions this evidence that mute swans can't coexist with trumpeter swans, because he says that's not true from his experience. He sees them commingling all the time. Do you want to respond to that?
Well, we're really dealing with a debate that's not Wisconsin-centered. I should say that this is something that's happening all over the eastern U.S. and virtually every state that has mute swans. I think Illinois may be the sole exception, has initiated plans to eradicate. So we have data not just from Wisconsin or isolated observations of someone who happens to have a mute swan on the lake on their property, but we've got data from wildlife biologists up and down the East Coast and throughout the eastern U.S. that have shown through ecological studies the type of damage that's done, the sort of negative correlation between the presence of mute swans and the presence of native waterfowl species. So this is not a policy shift here in Wisconsin that is without scientific basis. We have abundant evidence that the damage that mute swans cause is real, and that it's something that wildlife biologists have an obligation to get under control quickly.
Is complete eradication completely necessary?
Well, I think that may be the one point on which many of these control efforts for exotic plants and animals often ends up hinging. The problem of leaving some birds in place is the risk that in short order those birds can continue to multiply and increase. Some other states have tried to look at the issue by requiring anyone who owns a mute swan as a pet and keeps it in an outdoor setting to actually sterilize the birds so that they can't reproduce, or to clip their wings so that they can't fly and get away. And it's been determined that those efforts simply haven't worked. That somehow, as is almost always the case, the animals find a way to circumvent those types of tactics.
Can you help us understand, Professor Temple, why this, as you say, has been going on for, 15, 20 years, yet it's at this boiling point, and there's an agenda item on the Natural Resources Board tomorrow dealing with this? Some court ruling came down a couple of months ago.
Right. There have been a couple of challenges, not only in Wisconsin but elsewhere, to as there almost always seem to be with these efforts to control non-native animals. And there have been a couple of court issues. There was a Supreme Court ruling an appeals court ruling that looked at the issue of whether it was appropriate to exempt mute swans from some of the protection that's afforded to other bird species in North America. And Congress, a couple of years ago in 2004, modified the central piece of legislation that deals with the protection of birds in North America. That's the Migratory Bird Treaty Act. And they reformed, they revised that legislation in 2004 that made it very explicitly clear that non-native species like the mute swan were not given any protection and therefore were open to control efforts if they caused problems.
Let's go to the phones and take some calls. Nancy in Kenosha is with us first. Hi, Nancy.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I'm a little disturbed that the best anybody can come up with as far as a plan to handle the situation is to shoot them. Is there relocation possibilities or something else?
You know, non-lethal ways to control the mute swan population, Professor Temple?
Well, indeed, the program is not strictly killing birds, although certainly that is judged to be the most efficient way of reducing the numbers. But the program also, of course, targets reproduction and tries to exercise what you might say birth control to try to keep the numbers from increasing. But the practicality of most of these efforts to reduce populations or eradicate them is that the techniques that involve going out and trapping the birds, doing other types of removals, are prohibitively expensive and time-consuming and therefore have been rejected in favor of the much more direct and efficient method of shooting the birds.
And I would presume that relocation, unless it's to some sort of game farm with no chance of them leaving, I would guess that that's not an option.
Not an option here, right there. We don't view them strictly as a local problem. We view them as a statewide and even a continent-wide problem.
Yeah. How many, do we have any idea how big the mute swan population is in Wisconsin?
Well, we do approximately. The census work that's been done throughout the state suggests that the population statewide is probably in excess of 750 birds. The DNR has done a much more concerted effort at looking at the numbers of birds in the southeastern Wisconsin area, the area that the next caller is going to, guest is going to talk about. And in that area, the population was up in the neighborhood of 300 or so. And it's been, as I said earlier, reduced by about half since the control efforts began in 1997.
Yeah. So the southeastern part of the state has most of these birds?
Well, they're scattered around the state. Actually, I think the largest number of birds in terms of absolute numbers are actually up in the Green Bay area. But there was a concentration of mute swans down in southeast Wisconsin that was increasing very rapidly. There are birds up on Lake Superior. There are birds in Madison and other southern Wisconsin counties as well. But there was quite a concentration in that area of southeastern Wisconsin, which is why the DNR targeted that as one of the first areas that would receive a control program.
Next, we go to Bill in Madison. Hi, Bill.
Yes, I think this is a big mistake. This is the only way of keeping a trout farm or a pond clean of vegetation, as the speaker spoke, so that fish can live there and it can be an attractive place without poisoning. And it's a natural way. They stay all winter, and they take those fish. They're all very nicely protected from any chemicals, and it makes for organic trout farms. And the minute mm-hmm. you take those mute swans away, there's no way to control the algae and the weeds that destroy those farms.
Oh, yeah,
and
so
it's a natural way, and it should not be done. It's a human mistake.
Professor Temple.
Well, the caller has identified one of the perceived benefits of having mute swans in certain types of situations, and certainly he's supporting my view that they do change the ecological system. And I guess you would have to think whether the benefits that would accrue in the very limited few areas where we are raising trout in the state is worth the potential risk to the state at large of having mute swans out there free and in the wild.
Thank you very much, Bill. One more before news time, Steve and Barron. Hi, Steve.
Good morning. I just want to say we haven't learned our lesson from the Eurasian carp that's now an issue, or the zebra mussels or the lamprey eel we've been fighting for decades. And if they populate that easily, what's the problem? If we take care of the problem for 10 years and we find it's different, they'll repopulate in no time.
You're saying that we should eradicate this invasive
Absolutely.
Species because...
Absolutely. Yeah. We have to nip it in the bud when all these other species have gotten away on us.
Yeah. Professor Temple.
Well, I think that's exactly right, and that was the whole philosophy of the DNR's control effort, was to try to deal with the swan problem while it was manageable, while there was certainly the possibility that the program could work and eradicate the swans. On the other hand, as the caller clearly said, for many species, once you let them get out of control, or if it's the type of species like zebra mussels or something that is very difficult to control, then the situation just gets completely out of hand, and you basically just have to admit defeat. Mm-hmm. Mute swans are not in that category because of their biology, their ecology. They are relatively easy to control and eradicate.
Yeah, with only 30 seconds to go, though, because they have that fairy tale story behind them, people get upset when they hear about killing these birds.
Absolutely, and those of us who have had to deal with the problems that appealing, mm-hmm. evocative, exotic species pose, this is not unusual. I mean, you've hosted programs yeah. with me before about free-ranging calves. And
we better not get into that now because
no.
we're at news time. Thank sure. you so much for being with us.
You are welcome.
Stanley Temple, Professor of Wildlife Ecology at UW-Madison. Hello again, I'm Joy Cardine. It's about 6:36 on this Tuesday, January the 23rd, and we will get a different perspective on the mute swan control policy in Wisconsin in this half hour from a guest who organized a petition to protect the mute swan. We heard from a guest in our first half hour who believed that the DNR is correct in calling the mute swan a non-native species that threatens to take over the habitat of other species like the trumpeter swan. The Natural Resources Board meets tomorrow to vote on recommending the continuation of a program to eradicate the mute swan from Wisconsin. Our guest in this half hour says that eradication isn't necessary, and he questions the evidence that the mute swan is so undesirable. We will welcome your thoughts and questions for him at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Talk@wpr.org. We welcome in now Bob Langmesser, who is the town chair of Waterford. He organized a petition drive and presented Governor Jim Doyle with a petition containing 1,200 signatures asking that the DNR not engage in a killing program of the mute swan, and he joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning.
Why are you against the DNR eradicating the mute swan?
Well, obviously, there's a lot of reasons, and I live on the lake, and I've witnessed what was going on out here for the last 20 years. And the mute swan was protected by the DNR up to about 5 years ago. Most people saw them. They'd have a big yellow collar with black numbers, and they would follow their migration. Then all of a sudden, one morning read in the Milwaukee Sentinel where they were eradicating the mute swan by dyeing the eggs. And so this was a program that was started without any knowledge to anybody. And, of course, I immediately went to the press and made it public that this program was in existence.
Mm-hmm.
And then I followed that by just putting out a petition. I didn't go door to door. I just put them in restaurants and gas stations. And within 2 weeks, I had 1,200 names of people who wanted to see this stopped. So that's how that came about, as far as my involvement.
Yeah, but you object to this program to eradicate or severely reduce the population of mute swans because you like the way they look on the lake?
Oh, no. First of all, I noticed the gentleman that was on the radio before me said they had done studies and stuff, and we've had 5 public hearings in different municipalities, and the DNR has never presented any studies showing that the trumpeter swan is, mute swan is a danger to the trumpeter swan. Secondly, they talk about it not being a non-native bird. Well, there's documentation, and you can go on the Internet to the different universities, and you can see that these birds migrated here about 1,000 years ago. So that, to me, is not a basis to kill these animals anyhow. If that was the case, then all non-native species the DNR would go after, one of them being the carp, which is much more harmful to the environment than any mute swans would ever be.
Yeah.
Then one more thing. Mm-hmm. I have pictures. They say that the mute swan attacks the trumpeter swan. We have pictures that show mutes swimming with trumpeters side by side.
Yeah. Now, he did mention that. I asked him about that, saying that the evidence, the studies are pretty much nationwide or region-wide. It's not just an isolated incident on, say, the lake you live on.
Well, that's true. The Fish and Wildlife is the one that instituted this program, and the DNR is the one that's got to fulfill the elimination of these birds. It's a nationwide program, and first of all, the mute swan is not going to nest near trumpeters. Trumpeters are a northern bird, and mutes are more southern. They have to be by open water. So you're never going to get trumpeters to inhabit the same area that mute swans do.
Yeah. Are you going to be at the Natural Resources Board meeting tomorrow to testify against this policy?
No, I sent to them, I emailed them the resolutions by the Chamber of Commerce, the Village of Waterford, and the Town of Waterford opposing the elimination of these birds.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I'm not going is me and the DNR don't get along at all. I started what they call the Fox River Commission to clean up the Fox River from Waukesha all the way down to the Village of Waterford. And I started that 12 years ago, and I've had, it's the only certified organization in the state of Wisconsin where we get funding. And I've spent about $1 million cleaning up the Fox River. And my biggest barricade to do any of these projects is the DNR.
Yeah, tell me why you got the Chamber of Commerce and the whole village board opposing this eradication program. Is there a paragraph as to why you are on record opposing the control policy?
Well, everybody that lives out here in the wildlife area knows these mute swans are harmless. I mean, nobody wants to see these birds eradicated. They're a beautiful bird. They don't do any damage. The argument from the DNR is about vegetation. I have more complaints per year about cutting the weeds in the lake than no swans would ever be able to eat in 100 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have some people online who want to talk more about this issue, and we invite others to join us at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. We are talking with a critic, an opponent of the plan to eradicate the mute swan from Wisconsin, a topic that will be taken up tomorrow at the Natural Resources Board meeting. Our first caller for Bob Langmesser is Chuck in Endeavor. Hi, Chuck.
Hi, good morning to you and Mr. Is it Langwitter?
Langmesser.
Langmesser. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
I respectfully have to disagree with your guest. I would have to go trust the science that the professor was talking about in the research that trumpeter swans, or mute swans, would kind of scare off the other species and do destroy the habitat that's necessary for what was once a native trumpeter swan. And I say this because we're looking at a loss of species, a diversity of species, not only nationwide but worldwide, say in the last 100 years. And they're finding out that that's what is important. And I don't think we would want to – I hate to be the type of person that would promote killing any animal or eradicating it, but sometimes you just have to go with the science. I mean, I don't think we would want to encourage the mute swan to take over from our native waterfall any more than we would want to encourage feral hogs to, which are non-native, to proliferate in Wisconsin.
Yeah. What do you say about that, Bob Langmesser?
Well, first of all, your last speaker was correct when he quoted that there was 750 mute swans in the whole state of Wisconsin. Since this program's gone into effect, which is about 2002. As of the Milwaukee Sentinel's last article in the paper, there's 150 left. So you spread out 150 birds over the state of Wisconsin, and I don't see where they're an endangerment to any other species.
We're going to check our weather forecast and then take more calls on this issue at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Bob Langmesser is our guest. He is the chair of the town board of Waterford. He organized a petition drive to try to protect the mute swan. The Natural Resources Board is going to vote on continuing or not the policy that the DNR has to eradicate the mute swan. The DNR says this is a non-native species, that is harming the habitat for other native species like the trumpeter swan. What do you think? What questions do you have? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. About 13 minutes before 7 o'clock, we are talking about a controversial policy in Wisconsin. The DNR has a policy to eradicate the mute swan. This is done through various methods, including shooting them and destroying their eggs and other methods. The DNR says that this species is hurting habitat and other species in Wisconsin, calls it a non-native species that needs to be eradicated. The Natural Resources Board will be meeting tomorrow to vote on whether or not to recommend the continuation of this program to control or eradicate the mute swan. We're talking with a guest in this half hour who says eradication is not necessary. He says these are beautiful birds that are harmless and already are already severely reduced. Their populations are already severely reduced to only about 150 right now. He is Bob Langmesser, who is town chair of Waterford, and our next caller for him is Pat in Maguanago. Hi, Pat.
Good morning. I'm in total agreement with Bob, and we've actually talked about this. I'm on Phantom Lake, and one of the things that we have to also question here is the way the DNR goes about in implementing their policies. One of the reasons, Joyce, that this whole thing is now on the Natural Resource Board for tomorrow as an agenda is because the Phantom Lake people who got together with efforts from surrounding lakes, but it was like finding a needle in a haystack that the DNR had not gone back to the Board of Natural Resources to present its quote-unquote study results. It was long overdue. That what came out in the August 24th meeting on the Phantom Lakes. So, again, it seems that they have unbridled discretion of how and when to implement. The other thing is that they continue to use this word control, but I noticed, luckily, for the professor, he did indicate that it's eradication. Saying control seems to suggest that, you know, we're going to limit the numbers, but now they're going to the next step where, again, they want to eradicate the species. We, on Upper and Lower Phantom, since the fall of last year, a pair of young trumpeters have attached themselves to a pair of adult mutes. And we took several pictures in which we are going to present to the board, which I emailed some to the board during the course of the last week. If the young trumpeters had not attached themselves to these mutes and followed them around to find food, I don't believe they would have survived. And so, you know, this gives us a real opportunity to observe the two different species interact and whether or not there's any way that the trumpeters are going to nest here on Phantom. We're a very small lake, and all the DNR statistics suggest that they won't, but because now that these two young ones are kind of identifying with the two mutes as parents, that may be the case. But if the DNR has its way, all of the mutes on this lake would have been gone by September, and if board approves that action, they will be gone sometime this spring. And I think that's a very sad thing.
Yeah. A reaction, Bob Langmesser?
Well, I certainly agree with her. Like I say, if you take account of the mutes that are left here in southern Wisconsin, you'll find very few. I think there's six left on Tishigan Lake. I know on Phantom Lake they used to have quite a few, but they're probably down to about 15 birds over there.
We have the two that have actually taken care of the trumpeters are the only two on Upper Phantom, which is about 118 acres according to the DNR site. It's 400 and some acres on Lower Phantom, and we maybe have two dozen at best, and it's kind of hard to tell because they've been scattered since the fall. The other thing that's important is on this issue of the ecosystem, the DNR's own report from a couple of years ago in talking about how about Upper and Phantom's water quality rated it so high, and the Lower Phantom is on the watershed to the Maguanago River, which is considered one of the most pristine rivers in the state of Wisconsin. And Lower Phantom has historically had the largest population of mute swans in this area for years, as you well know, Bob, sometimes up near 50, 60, 70 swans. So it seems kind of strange that if the river is that clean and how these birds that had that high population on the river could be destroying the ecosystem, even in the DNR reports. But what you have to do is you have to go dig up different reports. If they want to bash the mute swan, you can find mute swan reports. If you want to look at all the other areas, you have to really kind of go and skirt the issues. So I found this information in a water quality survey and a sensitive area survey where it tells you all these good things about Upper and Lower Phantom's water quality.
You're assuming that the mute swan had something to do with that good water quality.
Well, you know what? I'm not. Mm-hmm. I don't know for sure. But that if the converse is true, that they ruin our ecosystem, then how can this be? It's contradictory.
What do you want, Pat, to see the Natural Resources Board do tomorrow at its meeting?
I'm hoping that what they will do is I hope the board is going to be open-minded on this and not just be a rubber stamp of the DNR. I Googled yesterday DNR, Wisconsin DNR, and DNR mistakes. And, you know, this isn't an exact science. And I came up with, I think, 80-some thousand hits. So, you know, I couldn't go through that. But all I'm saying is, and they've done plenty of good for our communities. But the thing is this isn't an exact science. As Bob said, we don't have any real studies on what the effect is. For years, the birds were protected. We don't know from a year from now if all these people who believe that they're native, they might win again. Yeah. And in the meantime, we've eradicated this species.
Yeah.
And we may never reintroduce the trumpeter. So I'm hoping that they give it a break. Let's see what happens, especially now in Fanton, that we do have this pair of trumpeter swans, and see if we can, you know, ride this out, study it, see what's happening. You know, if it comes to the fact that they think the population is getting too big and they need to control it, I mean, as much as that kind of turns my stomach, I could handle that, but eradication is so drastic, and it's an irreversible mistake.
Thank you very much, Pat. We have lots of other callers, and I just wonder, Bob Langmesser, is that where you are, too? Just give it a break.
Well, the DNR says they want to control. Control means not to eliminate. And I think they've eliminated enough of the mute swans at this point where they should just leave it alone.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Pat, for the call. Steve in Scandinavia is with us now. Hi, Steve.
Boy, we've had a lot of great calls this morning, a lot of interesting ideas brought up on a really controversial topic here. I just can't help but come back to some basic ideas on land management and ecosystem out there, that taking that exotic species off the landscape is the correct thing to do. And those birds are found all the way from Schwamigan Bay to the Illinois border. Trumpeter swans are in the state. They are established here. Their population is increasing. And those mute swans are taking up habitat out there that trumpeters could possibly use. And we won't know about habitat utilization by those trumpeters unless those mutes are removed from those systems.
Yeah. Bob Langmesser?
Well, I don't agree. All these animals can cohabitate. There's not a problem. That's the balance of nature. And we have no evidence of any mute swans that are attacking trumpeter swans and killing them. There's never been anything produced to show that that's what happens. And so I think left alone, these birds can habitat just beautifully together, and there'll never be a problem. Like I said, the trumpeter is a northern bird. The mute is a southern bird. Very little are they going to cross paths.
Well, let me take one more call before we run out of time. Erla May in Waterford. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. I just wanted to discuss the fact that you keep saying that the birds are not native. A great deal of research has been done on the subject, and fossils have been found dating back to the 1600s that would indicate that these birds were not brought from England, as has been thought, that they were brought here to be ornaments in people's ponds, but rather that they migrated from Russia across the Bering Strait.
Yeah, I'm calling them non-native because that's what the DNR is calling them.
They do. Mm-hmm. And that's a very distinct argument, because there is so much indication that this is just not true. They're saying that they've only been here 50 years, but yet when you talk to people who have lived on these lakes for their entire life, they talk about having mute swans. And, you know, and it's very frankly not difficult to tell the two apart.
Yeah, the mute swan has an orange beak, and the trumpeter has a black beak.
That's number one.
Yeah.
Number two, and probably more showing of the swan, is the fact that the mute doesn't make noise.
Well, that makes sense.
I mean, that's why he's called a mute.
Yeah.
And the trumpeter is a very, very noisy bird.
As the name implies, I guess. So do you think, Bob Langmesser, that these mutes have really been around for a very, very long time, and the non-native label is incorrect?
Definitely. There's documentation by, like I said, the University of Southern California and a few others. I've gone on the Internet and found that to be exactly true with this Erla May is saying on the phone right now. There's documentation that these birds came from Russia 1,000 years ago.
Yeah. You don't have any qualms, Bob Less, about eradicating other species that are considered very invasive, like the zebra mussel or the purple loosestrife. Well, I've heard comparisons made to that.
Yes, and there's where you have a dangerous species that's actually doing damage to our environment. One of the things that people don't even realize, and again, you can go to the internet, carp reproduce. One female carp will lay 25 to 30,000 eggs. Carp are bottom feeders. They stir up the bottom of the lakes and rivers so the game fish can't reproduce. They eat their eggs. They suck the roots of cattails and on and on. They do far more damage than any mute swan would ever do.
And you're saying eradicate those, not the mute swan.
That's correct.
Yeah. Thank you so much for being with us. Bob Langmesser is the town board chair of Waterford. He organized a petition to protect the mute swan. The Natural Resources Board has on its meeting agenda tomorrow an agenda item to vote on continuation of the DNR's mute swan control policy. Thanks to Leo Duran for producing this hour. Thank you for listening and for calling in. Hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.